A very good evening to you all. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the future of African governments in the International Criminal Court. And with us tonight is Isaac Onjiri. Isaac is a senior political reporter at the Daily Nation newspaper in Nairobi. He joins us from there by phone. Good evening, Isaac.
I'm fine, Douglas.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We also have Saine Marene. He's a Gambian journalist based in West Africa. He joins us from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. Welcome to the show, Saine.
Thank you very much, Douglas. It's my pleasure having me today on your show.
You're very much welcome. And also joining us is regular panelist Suleiman Mugula. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. He is an independent political analyst. Welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much, and good evening to the panelists.
So, as I said, gentlemen, our topic tonight, we are going to look at the ICC and African governments. The ICC was set up in 2002, but is often accused of bias against Africa and has also struggled with the lack of cooperation, including from the US, which signed the court's treaty but has never ratified it. The Gambia announced this week its withdrawal from the court, accusing the tribunal of the persecution and humiliation of people of color, especially Africans. The announcement late Tuesday came after similar decisions this month by South Africa and Burundi to abandon the court set up to handle the world's worst crimes. Now, let me start in Dakar there with Marine. Tell our listeners, is this the feeling of the whole country, or was it a government decision that the government itself felt it was appropriate?
Thank you very much, Douglas. As you all know, the Gambia joined Burundi and South Africa to withdraw their membership from Hague-based International Criminal Court. The announcement of Gambia's withdrawal from ICC was made by the Information Minister, Sarit Bojang, late on Tuesday. The announcement shocked the entire country, both Gambians at home and diaspora. And this is something that Gambians did not like it. If you recall, this is not the first time the Gambia government pulled our country from international organizations like the Commonwealth. So this is an attempt by President Yahya Jammeh to divert the international community and Gambians from the pressing political and economic situation facing the Gambia. So basically, it's a news, according to the minister, that the action is warranted by the fact that the ICC, despite being called the International Criminal Court, is in fact international coercion, called for persecution and humiliation of people of color, especially Africans. And many Gambians believe that this is a blank lie from the government because they feel that the future of President Jammeh is in the balance, considering that Gambians are heading to the poll in December coming. So the announcement is something that has shocked Gambians. Many people couldn't believe that a court that is meant to bring justice to the victims.
We seem to have lost my friend there in Dakar. Let me go to South Africa, to Suleiman. As people know, South Africa's decision followed a dispute last year when the Sudanese president Omar al-Bashir visited the country despite being the subject of an ICC arrest warrant over alleged crimes. Suleiman, same question to you. Is this, how do the people feel, the general population? Are they in line with the government decision?
They are mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. Part of the group, especially those who support the government, the African National Congress, many of them have tended to toy the line to support the government decision. And then the opposition, especially the DA, has not welcomed the decision. They are challenging it. They are going to challenge it in parliament. And they are threatening to take a stand against the withdrawal from the court. Of course, we are taking it from the fact that there are a number of factors as far as South Africa is concerned. As you're well aware, this is not a simple statute. It is a statute which originated from the United Nations, from the General Assembly. It was well thought over. And even the leadership by then in South Africa, which took South Africa into the ratification of the statute, they knew what they were doing and they thought over it. Apart from ratifying it, they domesticated it. It's part of the South African law. So it needs the process. We are yet to see how it unfolds. But it has received a mixed reaction from the population.
Yeah, of course, according to some analysts, if South Africa pulls through being the Africa's powerhouse, maybe others would follow. Burundi, of course, as we know, said it will leave the court, while Namibia and Kenya have also raised the possibility. Isaac, tell us more about the Kenyan situation as far as the ICC is concerned.
I know that following the influence from South Africa and Burundi and other African countries, earlier this week, the leader of majority in parliament, the Honorable Aden Duale, indicated that Kenya will also follow in the examples of the two countries that have already exited. And there has been a big debate in Kenya, given that Kenya had interactions with the ICC, which did not go well with the Kenyan authorities, especially the new regime under the Kenyatta administration. So we are expecting that there will be quite some debate in regard to this matter in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Do we have back, Mr. Marine? Are you back? Are you there, Saini? I don't think we have him yet. But well, let's continue with. Are you there, Marine? I think we're having trouble with our line to Dakar. Let me go back to South Africa. AU has been against this court for some time, as we know. What do you think is the driver? Because there seems to be a disconnect between the governments or the leaders and the people. Is that your feeling too?
Yes, Douglas. There is a disconnect because those who are against the court have tended to misinform. They have tended even to misinterpret. So because of their interest, they are interpreting the whole situation from their own premise, not from the premise of the actual situation on the ground. If you look at the spirit of the statute, it was intended to curb impunity, to deter abuse, to create a secure world. South Africa was a leading party in this one because, having gone through the apartheid system, the spirit of the entrance of South Africa was to reinforce the fact that never again should such heinous crime be committed against humanity. Not even for South Africa as such, but never again anywhere in the world. Let me make it clear. South Africa itself as a country may not experience the abuse, or the genocide, the crimes against humanity, the war crimes as such, because the South African constitution is watertight, is filled in such a way that you cannot have room for abuse of rights of people. Anybody who has gone, who has fallen foul of that, he has faced the national criminal justice system. It is very effective, and as we know that the ICC is just a complementary court. South Africa itself, the internal criminal justice system is effective, is credible. But the most important aspect of it was to ensure that there is no impunity in Africa, there is no impunity across the world. That is why South Africa and many other good intentioned leaders on the continent, that is why they ratified the statute. So by some people starting to come out, it is very regrettable. It is difficult to understand because the intention or the spirit of the statute what it intends to do, the factors still remain that no impunity should be allowed, no abuse or no genocide should be abused.
Well, impunity was is the cornerstone of why this court was set up. But let's go back to the situation of Kenya. Kenya has had poor relations with the court since 2011, when the prosecutor filed charges against several prominent politicians, including two who would become president and deputy president. Of course, the case sort of fell by the wayside. Now, as Isaac said, the parliament, Kenyan parliament, has already urged the government to withdraw from the court. Is this a foregone conclusion, Isaac? If parliament has already said, given a go ahead, do you think they will just go ahead and pull out?
Of course, you know, once a motion is tabled in parliament and if members of parliament pass such a motion, then it will be up to the government to make a decision on whether to withdraw or not. But in the Kenyan situation, you know, the kind of government we have is a government that will be very much willing to withdraw from the court, given that the two principals who are the head of the current regime have had a hand in this particular court, and they will be willing to express their dissatisfaction with the manner in which the ICC court is run. As such, I do believe that they will support any move to go from the court, because, you know, it is because of the Kenyan situation that there was a massive campaign by the African government through the African Union to withdraw from the ICC. And, of course, we've seen failed states withdrawing, like Burundi. We've seen the Gambia also following suit. And what shocked the world is the decision by the South African authority to withdraw. So it is very easy for Kenya. The Kenyan leadership is very erratic, and it is very easy for them to make such a decision.
Yeah, talking of the Kenyan government being erratic, do you think, is it your view that if a different government came into power, since the process takes about a year for a country to properly pull out of the court, would there be a change?
Not the only government that is that could easily support possible withdrawal from the ICC is the current Jubilee regime, and they are administrators because of the relationship they have had with the court. But I believe that in a situation where Kenya will have another president other than the current one, there will be no hurry to withdraw from the court. I haven't had any serious presidential contender so far supporting the government move, because I know that the opposition, the main opposition in Kenya, the Orange Democratic Movement Party, has indicated that they will not support any move by the government or by the majority leader or by the government side to withdraw from the ICC. This is because we are approaching a serious election next year, and in the 2013 election, Kenya just survived a possible disruption of another violence because of people were very scared of what happened in 2007, and the country was a bit everybody involved in the electioneering process at the time was quite was very careful. So, you know, it is because of the ICC cases that at that time were ongoing. If people know that now you can commit crimes and you know, you can go through the Kenyan judicial system without punishment, then nobody, it is possible that, you know, we risk violence in future.
Suleiman, how about the situation, the political situation in South Africa? Would the opposition support this move?
No, the opposition has already declared its stand. It's going to oppose the withdrawal. There is no cause. It doesn't see any cause why it should, especially that South Africa went even a further step to domesticate the statute. So it is going to find a very... Even we have got, in South Africa, we have got a very vibrant civil society. I'm sure the civil society is also going to to jump on the bandwagon, because really South Africa needs to take leadership on the continent the way they have taken leadership. It is going to lose its moral status, its moral higher ground if it is to lose, if it is to move away from the Rome Statutes. The bottom line is we have got crimes against humanity being perpetrated on the continent. It is not in the interest of South Africa to see these crimes continue to be perpetrated. We have got, for example, 6 million people died in DRC, in Ethiopia. South Sudan people, the leadership are mowing down their people. In Uganda, people, over a million people have died. In Rwanda, etc., etc. South Africa has been at the center of trying to calm down. It has had the moral high ground to help into all these countries. South Africa was very central to bring peace in Burundi. It was very central in Central African Republic. It has been all around the continent trying. It was central in the Ivory Coast crisis. So, given the status which it has, one would not see why it is pulling out. Yes, there are shortcomings within the ICC. There are issues which could be discussed. There are ratification. There are amendments which could be done. The state could not have been to withdraw. So I think it is going to take a very big debate in South Africa. We are waiting. Soon it is going to be tabled in Parliament. Already the opposition has declared its intention to table the motion for its discussion.
Yeah, Isaac, following up on Suleiman's point there, many people believe South Africa is unique because at least it has a democratic society and it's a powerhouse of Africa. People would understand why Burundi would want to pull out or why Gambia would be threatened by the court. South Africa doesn't have much to fear.
No.
It is true that the decision by the South African authorities is a big shock to the entire continent because, South Africa, when you look at Africa, it's a big democratic state in the region. And so the decision taken by the authorities is something that is still amazing. And it is really difficult to understand why the administration decided to take that route, given that there are quite some other countries who have had issues with the ICC, but they have yet to take that kind of move. So this was a big shock, actually.
I see. Now, for those who are just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America series in Washington. Our topic tonight, we're discussing the future of African governments and in the International Criminal Court. Our panelists are Isaac Ongiri of the Daily Nation newspaper in Nairobi, Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst, and we earlier on had Seine Marenai, a Gambian journalist based in West Africa, but we had phone issues with him. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9. Suleiman, the court, of course, has its own issues, but the countries, at least two of them, that want to pull out, the reasons seem to be obvious. They are scared of the court. So, and the court, as you earlier said in your earlier contribution, was there to fight impunity, to fight these serious crimes, which the countries themselves could not try. Now, where does that leave the people in case of crimes against humanity?
That is the perplexing situation we are in. Actually, the unfortunate part is that, as you have said, as far as the continent is concerned, we know the countries that have been for the withdrawal. We know the type of governments which they have. We know that these governments, Uganda, Rwanda, Sudan, they have already committed so many crimes, and the ICC was soon coming around them. We know that even in Kenya itself, as my brother testified, Kenya has got a history of impunity. We have had lots of political killings in the past, people like Robert Owuko and others. So many a lot of killings that have been going on in Kenya for some time. But even indicting the current president and and the vice president was not bad, much as the cases fell apart. But it was a consolation for the ordinary man that nobody is above the law in the whole world. You might be above the law in Kenya, but you're not above the law. So, as you have said, the spirit of the statute was to try to deter people like Kenyatta. If they would appear, the ICC, it was meant to give a warning signal to others that should you try, should we continue, one day we shall have our day in court. So by trying to move out, some of these countries, it is not a surprise because they have got a history and we expect it. But the surprising part would be for countries like South Africa, Senegal, Botswana, Ghana, Tanzania to join such a band, because there is a rogue regime. There are rogue regimes on the continent. They are known and they are expected. And they are the ones who are propagating for the removal, because they have got skeletons in their cupboards. But we don't expect the same regime, the democratic regimes, to go in for such hoodwinking, which is done by this rogue regime.
Yeah, now given all that, let's look at the future of the court itself. Because the court's fate may actually hinge on the coming deliberations of the AU. The AU has repeatedly, of course, asked the ICC and the UN Security Council to defer charges against African heads of state. And they put, in their last meeting in January, they tasked a committee headed by, of all, Ethiopia's foreign minister, with the task of drawing a comprehensive strategy, including collective withdrawal from the ICC. Now, Isaac, if the AU has this, because many leaders have sounded, and they have been trying, actually, to get away from the court, do you think they'll pull it off and the chunk of nations pull out, or do you think the court has a chance in Africa?
Well, what I know is that the African Union has already indicated that they are not satisfied with the operations of the court. They are not satisfied with the manner in which the ICC has been handling the situation, the African situation. And as such, you know, this is a court that an organization that is mainly directed by, that listens a lot to the African heads of state. If they decide to pull out, and by the way, they have given several warnings before that they will pull out from the court, and now that some countries are already pulling out, I think in the next meeting they may just resolve to pull out en masse, and you know, this is something that is not going to be a surprise, because you know, if a country like South Africa can pull out, it means any country can actually pull out. And I also wanted to add that Douglas, this is going to be a big problem for Africa, given that impunity is still living around Africa. Countries like Kenya, for example, you know, the judicial system is still very corrupt, despite attempts to make reforms in the judicial system. We still have corrupt judges. The other day, we had a senior judge of the Supreme Court battling a serious integrity case that he was only rescued when a court of law ruled that he had to leave because of age. So people are still bribing judicial officers to survive some of the cases that they face here. So it means that the ordinary citizens have not faith in the Kenyan judicial system, for example. And if we were to be faced with a situation similar to what happened in this country in 2007, our only hope would be the ICC. But if we withdraw, then it means that it will be every person or every man for himself as we approach the election. The elections, which are also again promising to be very, very competitive, Douglas.
I see. Suleiman, you just heard from Isaac there, but now given the fact that the chairperson of the committee headed to review ICC's relations with Africa is the Ethiopian foreign minister, given what's happening even there now, what hope is there for the countries remaining in the court?
Douglas, number one, much as Ethiopia is chairing the committee, I don't expect a massive withdrawal from the ICC, because there are some principled countries. There are some countries which hold the ICC dear to their hearts. There are countries which have gone through problems like Sierra Leone, Liberia. There are countries like Senegal, Botswana, Ghana. I mean, there are countries which cannot allow that one. Because, number one, it is not an African court. It is a product of the United Nations. Number two, it is, the moving out of Africa will not make the court collapse. There are other members outside Africa. Europe is within it. There are countries in South America. And regardless of the disinformation that the ICC is only dealing with the cases from Africa, it is not. The ICC has been investigating cases, for example, of UK's role in Iraq. It has been in Honduras, in Colombia, only that they have not prosecuted, but it's not specifically only for Africa. This is the United, it's a product of the General Assembly, and it is fighting impunity in the world. It wants to create a safer world. The removal of rogue regimes, if the rogue regimes on Africa want to move out, they can move out, but sooner or later there will be hybrid courses. Remember, apart from the ICC itself investigating cases, some of the cases are referred there by the Security Council. So for them, for the African, some of these rogue regimes on the continent to withdraw, it doesn't mean that they will never be run after.
I see. Briefly, Isaac, we're running out of time, but in the next 20 seconds, some Africans may have it wrong because leaving the court actually doesn't shield them from international prosecutions.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. It is possible that even after leaving the court, they are not protected from any action against them by the international community. Mm-hmm. So I think that it would have been better if they operated within the presence of the within the organization of the court or the system that has already been created by the court, rather than leaving or operating from outside it.
I see. Suleiman, the last 30 seconds, do you see a common thread, a commonality among the countries that want to pull out of ICC?
I can't see the commonality about them. Yes, there are intricate issues like indicting a sitting president. It is very intricate. And remember that on the continent, presidents are semi-gods, so touching them was almost touching God. But those could have been discussed, those could have been dealt with in another form, in another way, in a better way than withdrawing. I believe many African countries will resist. Many of them which have got democratic governments will not accept to leave the ICC because it is the only recourse. Apart from that, as my brother said, many of our governments on the continent, the national criminal justice system is very weak. Some of it is very corrupt. Some of it has been hijacked by the dictatorial leaders. So the only way for the people on the continent is the ICC. And I believe those well-meaning presidents on the continent in other countries will not accept to be a massive departure from the ICC.
We are out of time. That marks the end of this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Many thanks to Isaac Ongiri, senior political reporter at the Daily Nation newspaper in Nairobi, Saine Marene, a Gambian journalist based in West Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganya, and our engineer was Pete Handley. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And in case you missed part of the program, you can go to the internet. It's all there. Thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host Douglas Simpuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.